From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The election on November 6th isn't all about President Barack Obama and former Governor Mitt Romney. There are a number of state legislative races taking place in the Cooley region. That includes the 94th Assembly District. Incumbent Democrat Steve Doyle of Onalaska and Republican Bruce Evers of Holman are vying for the seat. We continue our candidate forum with both of them today. The first question is about taxes. Are taxes in Wisconsin fair? Are they a burden? Does the legislature need to improve tax equity? And if so, how? I believe, Steve Doyle, you're up first.
Well, taxes are not particularly fair in many respects. First of all, I think we have to look at what the purpose of taxes is. It's to provide services, and we need to make that initial decision in terms of the level of services that we have in our state. And Wisconsin has always been a high service state, education, roads, and so forth, and as a result has been a fairly high tax state. Once you've made a decision in terms of what level of services you owe to your constituency, then what is the most fair and appropriate way to raise those taxes? And what I think is important is a mix so that everybody feels like they're not paying more than their fair share, but everybody is paying their fair share. I had some concerns with what happened at the beginning of last year when we started out the legislative session before I was elected with a big tax giveaway to out-of-state corporations. To me, that put us in a $100 million or $200 million hole before we even started the discussion on the budget. And that didn't make any sense to me. I think that if we look at a mix of taxes and fees for services, and we've done that in La Crosse County, for example, where the people who receive the service, whether it's a campground site out at Goose Island or having your septic tank pumped, are the ones who pay for that rather than the property taxpayers. But if you don't have a fair mix and one that's based on ability to pay, then you have two problems. One is it's difficult to raise that money, and secondly, you have the problem of constituent buy-in. In other words, do people feel that I'm paying too much so I don't support the programs that we're providing? I don't want to sound like passing the buck, but I think it really is important for us to sit down and perhaps have a study committee to look at who exactly in Wisconsin is being taxed and at what rate and how it can be made more fair, and to bring both sides in, both parties into that equation to try to figure out the answer to that question.
Bruce Evers, are taxes fair in Wisconsin?
Well, taxes, in my humble opinion, are a burden to people, no question about that. The more you pay in taxes, obviously the less you have to spend for yourself or invest for yourself. I think that, as an example, when Steve said about, we had this huge tax giveaway to people coming, businesses coming into the state of Wisconsin, you have to look behind the reasoning. It was part of the budget process as well. We now have a budget that's balanced, at least for now. That was truly, if you want to talk about a government investment, well, that's a government into the people in the state of Wisconsin. The opportunity of new businesses coming here makes us all winners. We have to provide the opportunity for businesses to come here, and that may be through the taxation process. If we can attract businesses here because of our lower taxes, and I understand this cost of services, but you have to understand that if we're going to bring these businesses here, we have to be attractive. I can use Texas. Texas is huge. They have no taxes. Florida has no taxes. There's many, many, many states in the union that don't have taxes. They're very attractive to people to go there. I think we have to start rethinking the idea that let's just tax, let's just tax, let's just tax. And then, of course, with that goes, let's just spend, let's just spend, and let's just spend. You have to get this back and say, what do we really need to spend money on, and how are we going to pay for it? Steve talked about taxes. Fees in La Crosse County have gone up exponentially over the course of time. Fee for service. They've gone up dramatically in Steve's tenure on the county board. So I think when we start talking about fees, taxes, we have to, again, be responsible in how we approach that. People will come to this great state for a lot of reasons, and one of those reasons is if we can make ourselves tax-friendly.
Our next question comes from a constituent in the 94th District, as WPR reporter Steve Royson went around the area just asking people to ask you questions. Here it is.
My name is Kate Peterson. I'm from Holman, and my question is to do with property taxes. I live in the town of Holland, and of course we all want good service as far as garbage collection and good schools, etc., but our property taxes are rising, it seems like, at a very quick level, and I'm concerned that it's going to be that people are going to get priced out of their homes. I'd like to know how we can cut some services, but yet keep things that are essential, and yet lower our property taxes.
Bruce Evers.
Well, property taxes, there's no question, Ms. Peterson, that taxes are extraordinarily high. And as you said, they're continuing to rise. And if we're on fixed income, as an example, in our county, in the 94th District, fixed income people, if they have a 7% increase in their taxes, that's a significant amount of money if you're on a fixed income. I think we should start talking about how we can manage our counties. Again, it comes back to management. How we can manage these things to provide services. Maybe we have to do some of them private. We have to look at the alternatives. We have to start discovering the idea that if we run them as businesses and we manage them as businesses, we make people responsible for their jobs, for what they do, and the services that we provide. And I think the taxpayers do need to have some relief. We had a tax moratorium passed with Scott Walker. It was probably the best thing that he could have done. We need to stop the growth. I have a farm down in Crawford County. My taxes went up 115% 2 years ago. That was a significant amount of money. If I was on a fixed income, I'd be in a world of hurt. We need to start addressing the idea of why taxes are being raised and what they're being used for.
And Steve Doyle, the idea of keeping taxes where they're at while continuing to provide services.
Well, having spent a quarter century in local government, I exactly know what she's talking about, and that's the problem of the state not keeping up with its part of the bargain. And the counties are the ones who are on the front line in that regard. The state has various programs that they then tell local governments, in particular counties, you must do these. And by the way, maybe we'll give you some money, maybe we won't. Probably we won't. And so we saw that time and time again where the county, most of our budget goes to services that are mandated by the state that we must do. For example, the fee that I just mentioned about septic tank inspections. We're required by the state that we have to ensure that every homeowner that lives out in the country that has a septic system has that pumped or inspected every 3 years. We charge a fee for administering that service. We do an analysis beforehand of all of our fees, and we charge exactly what it costs to administer that program, no more, no less. If we don't charge that fee, then, under apparently Mr. Evers' analysis, we just say, property taxpayers, you have to pay for that. You have to pay for free camping at Goose Island. You have to pay for hotels to have their swimming pools inspected. You have to pay for all of these various things, and I don't think that's appropriate. So what we need to do in two respects is to make sure that people who should be paying fees are paying the appropriate amount, and that's a local level analysis. And secondly, at the state level, which is the office that I hold right now, we have to make sure that the state maintains its part of the bargain. In other words, we could relieve some of these mandates and say, by the way, you don't have to do these particular programs, or you can do them at a lesser level, or you can take an innovative approach like we did in La Crosse County with family care, where we provide better services for less money. If the state allows local governments that flexibility, you're going to see those property taxes either maintained or reduced. And that's really where my expertise in local government is coming in handy in the state legislature.
During the presidential race, we're hearing a lot about the middle class. I'm wondering if you can define the middle class and how the state legislature can help them if you think they need help. Steve Doyle.
Well, you know, I think the definition of middle class is kind of a floating definition, and you're going to see politicians define that the way that most advantages their particular argument that they're wanting to make. But, you know, I think that the definition that I commonly hear is, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars of annual income or below. To me, that seems even better than middle class or middle income. And then lower income, you know, a family of four perhaps having, you know, less than $50,000, $60,000 a year to live on. I mean, you're in really, you know, tight straits in that situation. You know, so when you look at that group of people, which is what most of us fit into, I mean, the average person, you know, 95% or more of the population is going to say, I'm a middle class person. But I look at targeting what I'll call working class families for relief, because they're the ones who are the most strapped. You know, the people that have very little discretionary income after they've paid for the diapers and the clothes and the daycare and those things, I think we need to be sympathetic to those folks. And at the other end of the age spectrum, the folks that are on a fixed income, you know, maybe a senior citizen who sees his or her property taxes go up, certainly his or her medical expenses go up, but Social Security is not going up. I mean, I think that we need to the extent that we have any ability to help people, we look at the folks that their situation is beyond their control and focus on them first, because that really is, I think, the role of government is to help when necessary and stay out of the way when it's not.
Bruce Evers, what is the middle class, and how can the state legislature work with them?
Well, I grew up poor, and when I look back at those days, I had a great life. I was poor, everybody else was poor, and we didn't know the difference. Today, you know, everybody wants to categorize the middle class. The middle class is, as Steve said, most of the people in America are middle class. There are the hardworking, striving people trying to build and develop futures for themselves and their children. I still maintain that government needs to get out of the way. We need to provide good jobs that can provide the opportunity for them to build sound futures for themselves and their family. When we start talking about government involving and engaging in all of our walks of life and making all of our decisions that surround us and, you know, providing all of the opportunities that we can't do, we start creating a burden on others. I think what we have to do is start talking like we're Americans. We're all in this boat together. We have to start relying on decision makers to go represent us and start making decisions based on facts. Statistical data will support fact as well. We need to start making decisions about how our government should be involved, how much they should be involved. Middle-class people rely on other people to provide the opportunity, and those opportunities should be provided by the private sector. Businesses need to come and grow with us, grow in our communities, provide people the opportunity to say maybe they're in the middle class, but maybe they move from an income of, let's say, $40,000 and they can get to $60,000. That could create a huge, huge break for them in planning for their futures. And I think we ought to provide those opportunities. The middle class is struggling right now, no question about it. But we need to help them by creating jobs.
As we sent our roving WPR reporter Steve Roysom on the streets, the question that he got most from people in the 94th District was this: elected officials can't seem to agree on anything these days. How will you bring the spirit of compromise to your job in the Assembly? Bruce Evers.
Well, I have a different view of what bipartisanship means than Steve does. I think bipartisanship is representing your constituents, because the constituents come from every walk of life, from either party, independent, it doesn't matter. As a representative, we have a fiduciary responsibility to represent them. Whether you're Republican or Democrat is irrelevant to the issues at hand. We have to start making prudent decisions, representing the constituents, weighing facts, data, making decisions that can benefit, obviously, the majority of those people. But I think we can do it without sitting there and saying, well, I'm on this position and I'm not moving. That's just wrong. Dialogue will create solutions. dialogue is what we need to start developing at our assembly and state senate level. We need to talk to each other. Good God Almighty, we had representatives down in Madison a year and a half ago throwing water onto assembly people as they're walking out of the assembly room down there. That's just barbaric. We're better than that. Bipartisanship means that you go down there and represent your constituents with only their best interest at heart. And once we start talking about issues, looking at all the issues, it could come from a Democrat, a Republican, an independent. It doesn't matter. We have to start talking like we're Americans. We all benefit from good decisions and good legislative process. We cannot continue this road of saying, my idea is only better because I say it is, or because my party says it is. That's not how we have to operate anymore in America.
Steve Doyle, how do you improve compromise in the assembly level?
Well, we do just what I've already been doing. I wouldn't change the approach that I've taken because I think it's been very effective. You know, that bill that I talked about, it was a job training bill and would be used then to help employers, the small businesses. That was a perfect example of bipartisanship at work because I had a number of Republicans go to the Republican leadership to ask that bill get scheduled. And why did they do that? Because, A, they thought it was a good idea, that the bill was a good idea, and, B, they appreciated the fact that I had worked with them on a number of different issues over the course of the months that I had been in the legislature. You know, Bruce says that we disagree on what bipartisanship is. I'm not so sure that we do. I think he's addressing the what, and I'm talking about the how. Of course, the what part is, you know, you represent your constituents. I agree with that. Bipartisanship is how. I can represent my constituents by basically saying a majority of the people in my district feel this way on a particular issue, and dang it, I'm not going to change my position one iota. To get things done. I'm just going to hold fast. And that's the concern that I have from on so many issues with what Mr. Evers has said in terms of his position on things. I look at it differently. I look at it that, okay, the majority of my constituents want this somewhat fuzzy goal. They want taxes lowered. They want services increased. They want good education. They don't necessarily say how we should do that. That's up to us as elected officials to go to Madison or Washington and figure out how to do the how to accomplish the what. And the how is doing it in a bipartisan fashion. You know, this used to be a country that we always said politics is the art of compromise. Everybody gets a little. Nobody gets nothing. Nobody gets everything. And we've moved away from that. The my way or the highway approach is just wrong. That's never been my approach when I was in county government, certainly not my approach in the state assembly. And that's just how I'm going to continue doing things, working together.
We're running short on time, but I'm going to let you each ask each other a question. And I'm going to ask that you keep the question short, and I'll give you a minute to answer, so then we have time for rebuttals. Steve Doyle, you can ask Bruce Evers a question.
Sure. Bruce, our local school superintendents have expressed concern that the recent budget cuts are going to soon impair their ability to provide a quality education, and that they're going to be making some very dramatic and substantial cuts that people will feel and people will be concerned about. I have a twofold question. Do you think that we spend enough money on public education in Wisconsin? If so, what cuts should be considered if what the superintendents are saying is correct? And if not, that we're not spending enough in education, where should we get those additional funds from?
Well, right now I think we're spending enough money on education. And I think we ought to stay on that program until we get our fiscal house in order. I looked at the amount of savings that's coming into the school districts by the school districts being allowed to go out and shop their health insurance, as an example. The savings to the school districts were in the millions, millions, and millions of dollars throughout the state of Wisconsin. Those monies were redirected into the education process, into the process. In some cases, keeping teachers on, improving the quality of education. Again, we have to look at the mechanisms and how we can save money. That was one of the tools where now we can shop our insurance out and save these millions of dollars. Now we can reinvest into our schools. I don't know if La Crosse is one of those areas where they decided to approve all of their contracts before the actual bill took effect. So maybe they couldn't bid their contracts.
Bruce Evers, would you like to ask Steve Doyle a question?
Well, I have several, obviously.
We're running short on time, so.
I'll go quick. You know, I guess, Steve, I have this question for you. You know, I looked at the records, and it says that over the last 10 years, property taxes in the county has gone up 7% average every year. And spending in La Crosse has gone up 5.5% over the last 15 years. My question is how are you taking your fiscal responsibility to Madison, Wisconsin, and trying to save us taxpayers money, but when your records show that you're spending money?
Thank you for that question. That's a great question. I'm glad to answer that. Number one, as I said, we are the fifth lowest per capita property taxing county in the state, fifth lowest out of 72, including the most conservative of the conservative and the most liberal of the liberal. The most fair way to compare how La Crosse County does is to look at other counties. We're doing better than almost every other county in the state in terms of keeping your taxes low. You talked about those statistics, numbers can mean anything you want, but let me explain the issues of the taxes and spending and the percentages. A great portion of that is because we do a good job in La Crosse County of economic development. We've brought in, during my 10 years as county board chair, a lot of new businesses and created a lot of new jobs in La Crosse County that has increased our tax base. So we have more people paying these taxes, not the same amount of people paying more, but more people paying the same. That's the difference.
I'm going to give each of you a 30-second rebuttal. I know that's shorter than we first talked about, but Steve Doyle, 30 seconds.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I think that when it comes down to what the people of the 94th District are looking for at this point, they're saying to me they want people who can work together. And I had a person say to me the other day that they really liked what I was doing and that I was bipartisan before it became fashionable. And I think that was one of the greatest compliments that I've ever heard, that I've been doing what people are saying that they want to have happen, and I didn't need to be educated to learn how to do that.
Bruce Evers, final statement or rebuttal?
No, I think my education is pretty good. Trust me on that idea. But let's go through this. Steve had 13 bills, which I have in front of me here, that he voted on. Of the 13, he voted yay on two. That means he voted nay on the other 11. Now, I'm not going to go through the list. We don't have time. But when you have an assembly guy telling you how bipartisan he is, yet he votes for everything that comes before the assembly, I scratch my head and say, how bipartisan is that, especially when one of those is voting against the biennium budget?
Republican Bruce Evers and incumbent Democrat Steve Doyle, thank you so much for joining me today. The two of them are running for Wisconsin's 94th Assembly District seat. The election is November 6th. Bruce, Steve, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.